webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself and God and God and you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution.
Hello, this is Daniel Rouse. Would you welcome with me again? Well, he's actually not here this week. Michael Lilborn Williams has taken the week off, but we have something very special planned for you. So right now, you are stuck here with Daniel Rouse. And before I get into what we have planned for you today, I just want to remind you, our listeners across the world, thanks for listening in. But we are reaching towards the end of our pledge drive. So if you haven't had the opportunity to call Michael and participate in this pledge drive, we ask that you would consider that. You know, as Don Barris Bartlett, who played such a vital part in the gospel revolution, has always stated, this is a value for value system that we operate here at the Gospel Revolution. So if you find value in the information and things that are headed your way, we ask that you would just turn around and put some value back into it and make it available so that others can also get this wonderful good news gospel coming your way. So if you haven't already, you can log on to www.gospelrevolution.com, hit the donate button, and you can participate that way. Or if you want to call Michael directly, you can call him at 832-318-9339. That's 832-318-9339, and speak to him about how you want to participate. We certainly hope that you have been enjoying the recent discussions that we have been having. And just a few weeks ago, we had a very special guest on with us, and that was Michael's daughter, Audrey. And she's going to be joining us here in a little bit, but we are just so excited about the things and the direction in which the gospel revolution is headed. And but we're always looking for your feedback. And we have heard from many of the gospel revolutionaries about the new discussion that has been taking place, some of the Lilborn equation, some of the recent one that we just looked at about you must be born again. We had some new understanding of that thanks to Robert May and some of the other gospel revolutionaries. And your questions are so vitally important to moving on with that. And just this past week, I did receive a couple questions that came in, particularly in regards to the topic of you must be born again. And I want to let you know that we're going to hold those until next week when Michael is here, as it'll be a great discussion for Michael and I to have about that. And we will get those answers to you. So stand by. In the meantime, if you have more questions come up, be sure to send us an email at freedom@gospelrevolution. Of course, you can comment on the YouTube video, the YouTube podcast, or our website, gospelrevolution.com. Anywhere that this content is placed, we are tracking those comments and messages. So keep them coming. As we have always said at the Gospel Revolution, questions are the lifeblood of the Gospel Revolution. So thank you so much. And again, welcome everybody who's listening from across the world. As I said, we have something very, very special planned for you today. And that is, we have the daughter of Michael Lilborn Williams with us, and that is Audrey. I would like to introduce Audrey and say hello, Audrey, and welcome to the Gospel Revolution.
Hello, said in my worst Mrs. Doubtfire impression possible.
I thought that was pretty good. And how are you today, Audrey?
I am absolutely wonderful. I've been working. Actually, I took a little bit of a break today, but I've been working very hard on the website, the Lilborn Equation website, getting it up and going. So it's been kind of fun actually doing that.
Well, it's great. We're so excited. I know your dad is so excited to have you part of the team. The content that's coming out and the work that you're doing really is wonderful work. And I want to say I appreciate your help because it's relieving some pressure from me, some of the work that I wanted to do, but just didn't have the time to do it. So happy to have you a part of it. And we're happy to have you here.
Well, I am absolutely happy to be here. I've always, you know, as far back as I can remember, I've always been involved in every phase of what my dad has done since he's been teaching since the beginning of time. So very natural next progression.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, there's something about us preachers' kids. We just happen to get involved in everything. Goodness, I remember it. Just 5, 6, 7 years old, making tapes and staying late after church and just doing random things around the church. You know, my dad used to set me on the tail end of his pickup truck when he would go do outdoor meetings, and I'd hand out Bibles and different things like that. We just find ourselves involved in every aspect of our parents' ministry, it seemed.
Yes, absolutely.
So we want to get to know you a little bit, Audrey. I'm getting to know you a little bit more and more here the last couple of weeks, and it's been a pleasure. And some of our gospel revolutionaries are, you have probably known some of them definitely longer than I have. But there are also some other ones who you haven't met. And so we want to take this opportunity today to get to know Audrey a little bit and see how you're feeling about what's going on, what's happening, and your involvement in what's going on. And, but I have to tell you, the first thing that came to my mind when I started to think about what we could discuss and questions I could ask you about your life and the gospel revolution is we all want to know, and I'm sure I'm not the only one, what is it like being the daughter of Michael Lilborn Williams?
Well, I will let you in on a not very big secret at all. It's never a dull moment. Never. It never in my lifetime has it ever been a dull moment with having Michael as my father.
I can certainly imagine. Your dad is truly a special man. You know, one of the things about your dad that I observe is he is really, really a brilliant man. And he has a way of thinking about things that I have never met anyone who's been able to process and to think and to ask questions. You know, one of the greatest things I learned from him was about asking questions, as our slogan is, as I opened up the show, questions are the lifeblood of the gospel revolution, really is the aspect that has truly saved my life from the treacheries of Christianity. But your dad just knows how to ask questions and to dive into things and to think about things and have a perspective. And I imagine in some areas that is really a wonderful thing and probably quite an experience to live so close to that and see that. But probably for you, it's probably just a normal way of life.
It really is. And, you know, growing up, it was... you couldn't hide anything from dad. That was for sure.
So, as you said, you know, you found yourself in the involvement with your dad and the different levels of ministry and all the things that he was involved with. All of the gospel revolutionaries who've been around for a while know your dad's story and know that, you know, he was a prominent Word of Faith preacher, preached with all the big names, all the TV preachers that we know today. What do you remember about that transition for your family? Because I know it wasn't just your dad. You know, when your dad made that decision and that transition, it wasn't just him, but it was your whole family that went through that. What do you remember about the transition your family went through from being involved in the Word of Faith and stepping out into this really kind of a world of a new perspective of the gospel that was not accepted by the majority of people?
So there's a couple different points to this one. The first one is I had two kind of immediate reactions. The first one was kind of like, whatever, Dad, okay, I'm over it. You know, being raised in the very steep doctrine that I was raised in, I was kind of over religion and indoctrination and just the whole thing. I was over it. But having been raised in that, he flipped everything on its head whenever he came out of the Word of Faith and into the gospel. And I remember after he told me, it took me some time to process. And we actually had a really huge falling out. Me and my dad have always been close. I've always been a daddy's girl. And we had a really big falling out because I told him, I was like, everything you have taught me, you're now saying is wrong. And what you're teaching now, I feel, is what's wrong, not what I've been told my entire life by you.
Yeah.
And then there was, of course, the financial part of it. You know, he sat down with the family and, you know, we had the discussion about how we were probably going to lose a lot of followers and a lot of people switching to the gospel. Just because it was so outside the realm of what people were used to, not only my dad specifically teaching, but all of these other big, huge, well-known preachers and, you know, pulpit puppets is what I like to call them. And that we should be prepared for the fact that we were not going to probably be as well off as we were. Because when you are free from the chains of indoctrination, the people have no incentive to fund that. They're free.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I can only imagine what that was like. So as these transitions were taking place, I mean, what sort of effect did that have on you? I would imagine, you know, beyond just the normal life that you were getting used to and the style of life that you were in, I would imagine emotionally and physiologically, there were some changes going on and effects going on in your life.
Oh, yeah. After the initial reaction, whenever I kind of finally opened up and allowed dad to, because that was the wonderful thing about the gospel. He's like, hey, you're not interested? That's okay. No problem. If you have questions, yeah, I'm here. And so, you know, I finally opened up to him and started asking him questions and wanted to know what it was about and what it meant and what the difference was. And I had a lot going on in my life on, you know, besides the family and what we were going through. I had my own stuff going on. I'm my own human being, you know. And I just remember thinking that it was just so powerful to know that there were no more chains. There were no more begging, pleading. There was no trying to reconcile. There was no reconciliation that had to be done anymore. It was over. And I just remember feeling so free.
I think that's probably one of the greatest words that we can use in what we all experience is freedom. goodness, I just think about how old were you when this was kind of all happening?
I think I was around 15. Let's see, that would have been 24 years ago now. Yeah, I think I was about 15.
Right around that same age for myself, you know, my dad being a pastor, Word of Faith and all of that. One of the experiences, and I've shared this with the GRs before, that I've had, well, I had a very curious mind and I started reading a book called The Power of the Subconscious Mind. It began to open up some questions to me, and I began to question, you know, why people are experiencing or at least saying they're experiencing the same type of things that we experience in a Word of Faith service. Why were they experiencing them and they didn't even believe in God? And so that led my mind to places that we were told we shouldn't go, and thinking thoughts of doubt and unbelief and all of that. And Audrey, I remember taking that book and throwing it across the room, and it landed in the trash can. And I said, I'll never pick that up again in my life. And I just think back to that and think, you know, it's amazing how these places in life just come up, and these opportunities to think happen. and how stifling that the indoctrination that we had keeps us bound into that pattern of thinking. I was just watching the other night. I think it's called Happy Shiny People. It's a TV series that was put out on Amazon Prime. And the first season was about the Dougherty family. And the second season, I didn't watch the first season, but the second season that came out, it caught my attention because it was by a ministry by the name of Teen Mania. And I was very involved with Teen Mania as a teenager. I went on, I think it was 3 different mission trips with them. Spent several weeks on end at their campus in Garden Valley, Texas. Worked with Ron Luce, and actually a friend of ours, when his ministry was closing down because of some backlash that was coming up against him, and that's what this whole series is about. Some friends of mine actually opened up the campus to try to redeem that ministry. This mentorship program they had called the Honor Academy, and they opened it up in Branson, Missouri. But as I was watching this, there was a place in there in this Honor Academy, they really had a really strict list of rules that you had to live by, their quote, honor code, unquote. And this girl who happened to be the worship leader for their music team that traveled all over the country, she got kicked out because she kissed a boy. So she got sent home. And but they had always had an opportunity for people to come back, and it was a whole process in which you had to go through. For her, it took a year, and many people didn't come back. But when she was out, and she knew that it was wrong what they had done, and she knew that this wasn't the right way to handle it, and so on and so forth, but she was didn't know any other way to live. It was the only way that she knew how to live, and it brought her back. And I, you know, you hear stories about people who spend their life in prison, then they get free and they don't even know how to articulate into life. And so they find themselves back into prison because it's the only world they know. And so many people experience that. And I was just thinking about that as I was watching that show, you know, just this process that happens that we go through when we go through these huge transformations. So I can only imagine for you guys, it was probably a huge thing. Really life-altering. Who knows where you would be today had your dad not had the voice that he had, had he not had the understanding of the gospel that he had. You might still be in it. You might be one of them. Or you know, maybe you'd find your own freedom somewhere else. Who knows?
I think I definitely would have deconstructed regardless, because I remember I was probably 5 or 6. We were living in North Carolina at the time, and we had a formal dining room that came off of our formal living room. And yes, we had one of those houses. And I remember sitting on the steps between the two, and I was just bawling my eyes out. And Dad came into the room, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, honey, what's wrong?" And I said, "I'm afraid of dying." And he goes, "Well, like, I know, but at least," he's like, "you know, everybody does die, but you know, whenever you die, at least you know you're going to heaven." And I started crying even harder. And he goes, "Oh my gosh, what's wrong? You're going to heaven." And so I'm just crying harder and harder. And finally I get it out. I was like, "That's what I'm terrified of. What are you supposed to do in heaven for eternity?"
Wow.
Like, to me, yeah, hell is not that great. That's eternity. That sucks. But at the same time, even when things are so golden and wonderful, what are you supposed to do for eternity?
Right. Yeah.
And that terrifying.
Worship God 24/7, 365. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there was something about that picture of heaven that just wasn't, part of it was not attractive.
Yeah, it didn't sit right with me.
So you've had a questioning mind even as a little girl, so that Williams mind runs within you.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's great. So that transition taking place, here we are, what'd you say, 20, about 20, 24, 25 years later. And obviously things are very different. And you find yourself back today playing an active role in the ministry. And what sort of things, how would you describe your involvement today in what we're doing and what your dad is doing?
Yeah, I always seem to get sucked back in. I don't know what's happening there, but it never fails. it was supposed to start out as just kind of like a sounding board and editor type role. And now it's turned into researcher, developer, website creator, social media management. I don't even know what all I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm doing it.
The everything person.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah. He's got Jackie, I think, is his science brain sounding board. You are his gospel revolution brain sounding board. And I think I am the grounding, come back to earth, logic brain sounding board.
Yeah.
I think that's my job title more than anything, is to keep him here.
We've been working on the Lilborn Equation website. And if you haven't checked that out yet, you can check out lilbornequation.com. It's something that has gone up, and Audrey has taken a lot of the research on that side of the content that's been coming out, as she said, reorganizing it, making it sound good, and putting that on to the website. And it's really coming together quite well. We're in the very early stages of that, and there's much more yet to come. But just want to encourage you to check that out. That's one of the things that's happening here around the gospel revolution, is this understanding. And I want to just take a moment to emphasize why we're doing this. And it's this side of understanding the physics of the universe, the physics of light, the immediacy of light, is backed by the Hebrew scriptures. And when we read out of Romans chapter 1, where Paul said that the creation reveals the attributes of the invisible one, of God, and by understanding all of the creation, by understanding that which was created, we can understand the Creator. And we had that beautiful psalm that we went through that walked us through how all of this speaks of God, and it shows to God. And our hopes is that we can be a voice in the world, and a voice that's not on this side of what we're presenting, that's not so bogged down, and I hate to use that term, but I think you'll understand what I'm saying, that it's not so full of scriptural teaching, but rather we're presenting the physics side. And by understanding that, there's going to be this natural draw, because the ultimate conclusion of that is that there is a Creator, and that's going to bring that draw back to people, and they're going to be hungry for a gospel. They're going to be hungry for a gospel that aligns with that. And so that's our hopes on that. But we are not going to shy away from the gospel teaching either. And we have a lot more things coming up. We're actually in the works as we speak of putting together our next conference. And so we'll have some more information for you on that. Michael and I, when we're back together on the podcast, we'll share some of that information with you as it's coming up. You can mark your calendars for that. It'll be the first weekend in September. We'll be sure to release that conference will be coming at you. But in the meantime, Audrey, what do you see that is happening in the GR right now that is most exciting to you? And I'm curious to know how this is impacting your life.
I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I have no clue. I have been so wrapped up in the Lilborn Equation website and keeping up with the physics side of things that I have not been able to keep track of, even my own house, let alone what's going on with the gospel revolution.
So it's definitely having a very big impact on your life.
Yes, it has. It's a full invasion takeover.
Yeah.
But the one thing I do understand about it, and of course, you know, to me, when Dad really got into the gospel and once he had the foundation of it understood and he taught it to me, it's like, I don't need to know the rest of it because it just makes sense. It's like, okay, duh, move on. So, you know, it's interesting to me, but it's not something that really draws me in. And I think that goes back to the way that I was raised. I'm just very arm's length about anything to do with God, the Bible, the gospel, anything. It's not that I'm averse to it. I'm just not as interested in it as I am the physics side of it. But what Dad explained to me and what makes sense to me is that God is the groom and physics is the bride. And when we have these two come together, that's when we're really going to set people on fire. That is when they are really going to be able to set themselves free from everything. And to me, that's what's interesting is the physics side of it. And that's what I've been delving into.
Let me ask you this. Is this something that, like your dad, I mean, he's talked about that he's questioned this from when he was a young boy. Is the physics side of things, is that something that you have thought about for a long time? Or are these new ideas and questions and concepts to you?
So I've always really been interested in science. Unfortunately, to be interested in science, you have to have some grasp of math and be good at it. And I am not. Science interests me, but, you know, I've always felt that there was a barrier there because of the math issue. And now I come to understand that the math really doesn't mean crap because you can make math do whatever you want it to do. And that's what I find so interesting about this is because, yes, we are coming up with real equations to actually walk through verifying what we're saying. But more than that, we are taking it and making it more of a logic problem. And once you start unraveling the logic of what we understand to be with light and many other things in physics, it unravels. It just completely falls apart. Physics and science has always been an interest of mine.
I would have to say I kind of shied away from it a lot of my life, and reason being is because I had a hard time to keep both in my mind. And when I speak of both, I mean my Christian beliefs and science. You know, of course, as a Christian, we were so forced to think about creation science, which, you know, is something that we're doing right now, but it's done in a very different way and it's very accurate compared to some of the things that I was taught. But that was the conflict I had in my mind, is some of the stuff that they were teaching us through these Christian so-called scientists was really out there. It was really strange. And as Michael has always done, the presentation of what he has shared with me so far on this understanding, it's so simple and it just really makes sense. It's not some mystical thing. Like a lot of physicists get into. I mean, it's just really far out there. But this is really down to earth, real simple, real concepts. Like you said, Audrey, there's real math that's taking place and there's real equations that are happening. But the understanding of it can be really simple, and it's something that everyone can come to grasp. And I've just, I enjoy that part of it. I was never really one to dive into deep into science. I think even in school, when we got to science. I was more of a math guy. I was kind of the opposite. I like math more than I like science. And the science, I had good grades in it, but I just went through the classes just to pass them. I didn't really get them to learn anything. So this has been quite an experience for me, just having some understanding of some of this stuff.
Yeah, it's they're at the point where in Dad's research where we were kind of getting out of the, I don't want to call it flowery words, but we were getting out of kind of the mysticism of the research that he was doing and getting down into the hard equations of it. Is where I kind of started to lose it. And I told Dad, I was like, I understand what's going on. I said, but whenever I see math, my eyes gloss over.
Yeah.
And I'm a deer in the headlights. You've lost me. But I think scientists, they really enjoy the mysticism of what they do because I think they want to keep people out of it, because if people realize just how logical it can be, then it's no longer this exclusive club and they can't control the rules anymore. And then you have people free thinking, oh my gosh, and actually coming up with things outside of what they have created themselves that have made them millions and billions of dollars.
Yeah, you know, kind of sounds a lot like Christianity.
It's the two grossest creations that have ever been is religion and science. And they hate each other so much. And I think that's what I am enjoying the most about what we're doing is because we're taking the two of them and they are one thing. They are not separate. Mm. They are one thing.
Yeah, the verbiage is different, but the message is the same. And one of the observations that I've had, Audrey, and this is a lot in our generation, I think, is going through this. You see this term deconstruction, where people are walking out of Christianity. They're deconstructing Christianity. But what is almost simultaneously happening with all of these people is they're walking out of that and they're walking into science. And I've seen it over and over again that they just cannot, they cannot get away from that. When they throw out God, and it's like they have to throw the whole thing away. And there used to be a saying that we used to say all the time in the church, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. And that seems to be what happened. They're throwing the whole thing out. And I get it. I get it, because if you didn't have the time and the process to walk out of it, I was of the benefit that I had the time to put into coming out of Christianity and evaluating and researching and looking at all of the questions that I had. I had a lot of time as a pastor. You know, I was part of my job was to search the scriptures and to pray and to study. And so I had a lot of time that allowed me to study these things out. And I had to walk out of that. And I did that biblically. I did that scripturally and still am. But I see as people, as they go from that, because Christianity taught that there was a creator, that goes out. And I'm so happy with what's happening here, because we're going to be able to present this message in a way where I think they can hear it. And as they begin to do that, you know, our greatest hope and expectation is that's going to draw them back also to a gospel free of Christianity, the Christianity free gospel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think too, it's the reverse too. It's not in droves like you are seeing with religion, but there are people who leave the science community and they do the exact opposite. Mm. They reject all science and they go full blown into creation and God and deeper than that too. And so what we're doing is just so, I can't stop saying it, it's so beautiful, because it is the marriage between the two that we have always needed, we have always deserved, and has always been there.
Yeah.
But we've had to create these two groups have created this conflict between the two because they both verify each other. And you just can't have that and still make money. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, there seems, in order to do it right, there has to be some sort of mysticism that lays there, and there has to be some way to control. And however the group is using those ways to kind of leave something where people keep coming back for more, and leaving something where they're required to do something, that seems to be the connection that's always in these things. And people just naturally have a draw to that. And but until you taste freedom, true freedom, and you're able to think free and be free in your mind and allow yourself to think, once you experience that, it's like there's nothing else that can compare to that. I'm aware of it walking into different aspects of my life where people try to use guilt and condemnation to keep me locked into a situation. But as a free person, that just doesn't work anymore. That was the thing that kept me captivated in Christianity. But now that's the thing that keeps me away. And that's really what it is to experience freedom. I think you've been answering my next question, but I'll ask it anyways, just in case there's something more you want to say about it. But you're active on the research and that's taking place on the Lilborn equation and putting all of these documents and different things together. Again, doing a fantastic job at it. Thank you so much. But my question is do you think this understanding, and I think you've already answered this, but do you think this understanding is connected to the gospel? And if so, how?
No, I don't think it's connected to the gospel. I know it's connected to the gospel.
Ooh, you're preaching now, girl.
I am my father's daughter. to me, it is no different than us being one with God. The gospel and science are one with each other. There is no separating them. They've been separated for two. I mean, imagine keeping a married couple, a happily married couple, completely separate from each other. And not only keeping them completely separate from each other, keeping them under chains and locks and telling them that they hate each other.
Come on. That's a great picture.
Yeah. And we're saying, no, these two belong together. Mm. This is the way it should be. They are married. Let them be together. Leave them alone.
Yeah, goodness. I really love that. And, you know, getting back to, for those who have been following us here the last few weeks about on the podcast, we've been quoting out of Romans chapter 1, you know, that I mentioned to you earlier. And we also been looking at the Psalm here. In Psalm 19, and I just want to read this again, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out throughout all the earth, and the words to the end of the world." And what we've been pointing out in this is it's really beautiful. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. And that's the voice of creation. That's the voice of physics. That is that. And what is it speaking? It's declaring the glory of God hand in hand, a bride and a groom. What a beautiful picture about how these two are connected and are working together. And that is what we're endeavoring to. That is our mission that we are doing right now. We are presenting this in a way where these two are not against each other. They're not opposed to each other, but they're happily married, walking hand in hand and side by side. As Audrey said, as we are one with God, so are they one with each other. Well put. Bravo. Good preaching.
Thank you. Let me take this image a step further. So if we have the perfect marriage between God and science, and they are allowed to love each other, and they are allowed to walk hand in hand, and they are allowed to exist the way that they should have always been, can you imagine what their kids would be like? What would we be like if we had been able to know this and understand this from the beginning? Hell, even 100 years ago. Just imagine what we could have been like if this would have, this framework would have been standing and stable since the beginning of time.
I'm thinking, I'm dreaming, I'm imagining.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
I mean, you really want peace on earth. There's your answer.
And you know, that is what we've been sharing in the history of the GR, is that this really is the answer for peace on earth. This is the goal. Audrey, one of the things that your dad and I do during the podcast is we welcome in audiences from 100 years from now, from 10 years from now, from 1,000 years from now, because that's, Christianity has taken the future away from so many people, you know, saying Christ is coming back or the earth is going to be destroyed. And physicists do the same thing, you know, that we're going to eventually burn up and all of this stuff. And the world is coming to an end. And what we're saying is that's not true. I mean, we are on a course for eternity. And we are confident that 1,000 years from now, there will be people that will be listening to this message or even the effects of this message that has gone out. And that's the mission. That's what we're doing. It's happening. And Audrey, we're so happy to have you a part of it.
I am happy to be a part of it as well. It's been life-altering. The last 25 years have been an incredible journey.
And it just keeps impacting your life, doesn't it?
Oh, it does. Absolutely. I have a son. He's 11, just turned 11 a couple of months ago. And one of the things that I really wanted to instill in him is that breaking away from religion and embracing the gospel and science, but more than anything, I wanted him to be able to embrace himself and to love every part of himself for exactly who and what he is, however that turns out to be. And, yeah. You know, I've nicknamed him my little weirdo because he is quite the little weirdo. And he's not afraid to express himself as a little weirdo. He wholeheartedly and I've never really gone into teaching him the gospel. We have conversations that are gospel parallel, if that makes sense. And I know him and dad have conversations that are very similar, but we've never delved into the gospel world. And even without doing that, my son knows and understands the gospel. And now I have the opportunity to teach him the science part of it. And he is going to be the first one that is going to be the child of the marriage of the gospel and science. And he's just an incredible little boy. I mean, I know I'm his mom. I'm probably biased, but you know, everyone that encounters him, they always come back to me later and say, he's just such a wonderful kid. He's so far beyond understanding at 11 years old than 30 and 40 and 50 year olds are. So I'm really excited to see how this is going to affect him. And I know that it's going to be positive.
Yeah, it's beautiful. You're pulling on the strings of a daddy right now, because that's the thing I think about out of the whole process and everything that I've gone through in my life and the experiences that I've had, the things that I've learned. Is I am so excited to see my two girls and the life that they have set before them, free from that which I was burdened by, And to be given the opportunity to be a child of this beautiful marriage between these two. And it really is wonderful. And if, Audrey, I think I speak for both of us, that if nothing else accomplishes from this but our children benefiting from it, then it's well worth it.
I'm totally okay with that. I mean, don't get me wrong. I would love for the entire world to be in on this just as much as we are. But I was actually thinking about that earlier today. If this thing falls flat on its face and it never sees the light of day, you know, at least my family, your family, the few that have actually gone down this path with us, at least they have it. And that's enough. It's not enough, but you know what I mean.
It's well worth it for sure. One of the things your dad always says is we're going to keep doing this whether you're with us or not. And you know, it's true, because we're benefiting from it. I mean, every time we come on and do a show or get on the phone or start sharing texts or whatever it is, I mean, just as one of the old GRs used to say, we just keep getting saved over and over again.
That's old language. It's just so comforting and reassuring.
So I got one more question for you before we wrap up here for today. And you've shared with us some of your life experiences, where we're at right now. You've learned so much. We all have. And if there was one thing that you could go back and tell 15-year-old Audrey, if you could tell her one thing, what would be that thing that you would say to her?
You know, I read this question a couple times to myself and thought about what my answer was going to be. And now in this moment, it's, it just kind of hit me. Because, you know, it's so easy to look back. And when you're in the mindset that I was at 15, and when you feel so trapped that you can't look to the future and you can't depend on a future to exist that you will exist in, it's so easy to look back. But the one thing I would tell my 15-year-old self is it's not as scary as you think it's going to be. It's going to suck. And it is scary, but it's not as scary as what you think it's going to be.
One of the things that just keeps coming back to me as we're talking here is that there is a future. I mentioned earlier that I had just watched this TV series about teen mania. And one of the things that was taking place, and I so remember being immersed in this mindset, is we had this martyrdom that the ultimate goal of a Christian, of a good Christian, was that you would die for the name of Jesus, die for Christ. A lot of times this was presented in a way where it was kind of a spiritual sense. But there was also a very literal sense to it as well, where ultimately, and I was under the persuasion as a little boy that I would never see a time where I would be an adult with two children. That perspective for me was not in existence. That vision was not there. Most of that was captivated by the return of Christ. I was under the impression that Christ was going to return and it was going to be very soon. Very quick, that I would not live out to be an adult, that either that would happen or there would be some situation that would find me as being a martyr for Christ, because God, I mean, we thought the world was going to get so bad so quickly to the point that you couldn't even speak the name of Christ without, you know, someone holding a gun to your head. And I remember this story taking place, and I'm ashamed to say that I used the story in my own preaching as a young man, a young Christian Word of Faith preacher. And it was about Columbine, and there was a young girl who, as the story goes, is that the gunman from Columbine found her and asked her if she pronounced Jesus as her Lord. And she did, and he killed her on the spot. And we took that story, Audrey, and we ran with it, and we encouraged that mindset to love Jesus to the point having a gun put to your head and giving your life for that statement that Jesus is my Lord. That's how hard we believed what we believed. And that took away our future. That took away our tomorrow. That took away any hope for a future and a life because we were so focused on we need to infiltrate this culture right here, right now. Whether it be the return of Christ, whether it be a physicist saying that the world is going to burn up and come to an end, whether it be a Christian doctrine that said that, you know, this world is going to be destroyed and a new world is coming, whether it be a doctrine of heaven and hell, whether it be a physics teaching of a comet coming and ultimately destroying or a big black hole swallowing us up, this end of the world mindset on both of these platforms exist. And what we are doing is we are giving the future back to people. We are giving the future back to our children and saying there is a tomorrow. There is hope for you tomorrow. Something might happen and change that, absolutely, of course, but we're going to have a structure in which that's even something that you can work within without it being so dramatic and so crazy. As you said, you know, it's not going to be as hard as you think it is. And this is really amazing what's taking place. And that's just what keeps coming back to me, Audrey, today is that what we're doing and what has been given to us and what we're giving to our children is we're giving them their future back.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I was 13 when Columbine happened. And between that big story of the gunman doing what he did to that girl and her response, plus the other things that I had going on in my life, plus, you know, this was just before Dad transitioned into the gospel from the Word of Faith. There was no, I'm going to be perfectly honest with you. I did not think that I would live past the age 30. 30 was an old woman to me, and I did not see myself. I could not even imagine it, Daniel. I couldn't even imagine myself existing past the age of 30. I could not imagine that life whatsoever because I didn't exist for whatever reason. It was just not a possibility.
That thought to me now is so crazy. But for you and I, we lived in it and it was so real. It was, that was reality for us.
So how old were you whenever you deconstructed?
So I was in my mid-20s, probably about 25, 26. I took a slow process in it. I was still pastoring. And what started it for me was I was reading Rob Bell's book, Love Wins. And he was talking about, he didn't even teach about hell. He just asked questions about hell. And again, talk about questions, the power of questions, which led me on a journey to really ask some questions about hell. And I discovered that I was lied to about hell. And what I was taught about hell was totally wrong. And shortly after that, I was reading in, as I often did, just reading in the Bible, and I found myself in Romans chapter 5, talking about the first and the last Adam, that if by one man's offense many died, even so by one man's righteous act many will be made alive. And that for whatever reason, the thousandth time that I read that, something clicked inside of me that said that the last Adam was at least as powerful as the first Adam in that he affected everybody after him. And then after that is when I was introduced to your dad and the Gospel Revolution through my aunt, who was a longtime listener and supporter of the Gospel Revolution. Yeah, I think I was about 25 or so when that began to happen. And I quietly continued being a pastor, a Word of Faith pastor. I kept preaching that. I became more graceful in my teaching, started teaching a lot of grace. But I just got to the point where, Audrey, I would sit up and preach a Word of Faith message, and I'd go home, and I would spend the rest of the day in the bed because I was sick to my stomach because I knew I was lying to people. And I couldn't do it anymore. And finally, I just said, enough is enough, and walked away.
That's really wonderful.
Yeah. So it's been about 10 years now or so, 10, 12 years. Gosh, I think for a long time I've been saying it's only been 7 years, but it's getting longer.
Yeah. Well, I've got 15 years on you, and the one thing I can tell you is it just keeps getting better and better. I mean, there's no part of this that doesn't make sense. There's no part of this part. I don't know why I can't talk all of a sudden. There's no part of this that isn't freeing. There's no part of this that isn't empowering. It's just so incredible. I'm sure that there are chemical changes that have happened in my brain, having gone through all of this. And now, especially with the science part of it coming in, I am convinced that there has been a chemical change in my brain, and it will never be the same again. And that's not a bad thing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I have to say it again, Audrey, we're so happy to have you a part. It's so great to see the work that you're contributing to the efforts, and I'm just looking forward to the future and what is in store for us. I'm just so excited.
I am as well. And please don't forget to visit LiBornEquation.com, LILBORN equation.com. Please be gentle. We are in the beginning stages of creating this website and putting it together. Please check back with us often for new articles and new subjects and categories that can be studied. Feel free to leave comments. Feel free to ask questions. Again, those questions, we absolutely love them. We would love to hear from you. If you have input, if you are in the world of physics and you would like to contribute in any way, shape, form, or fashion, please reach out to us. We would love to hear from you.
And so it is, we must leave you, family and friends. If you'd like to know anything about the Gospel Revolution, then call her, or you want to make that big pledge today, you can call our office on 832-318-9339. That's 832-318-9339, and speak to us about how you want to participate. Or you can go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the donate button. You can find us on your favorite social media network, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Please be sure to hit that subscribe, share, and like button on whatever platform you are listening. Now, on behalf of Michael, I'm Daniel Rouse, and it's a great big good night from here in the frozen tundra. And Audrey, would you like to say adios to everybody?
Good night.
We sure hope you enjoyed today's PowerCast. And remember, we'll be here to do the same thing all over again next week, only
better.
Since you're knocking on the door, you're begging to come in, yeah. On a weapon off the wild, has been knocking from within. You are the love you seek, a perfect gift you need, righteous, holy, yeah, yeah, yeah. When you're lost and alone, and you don't know that it's worth being calm, just to guide you right.
you gotta be, nothing to complete. It's not a thing that you need, you're the love. Just remember to breathe and take a second off. Look, I'm just trying to remind you that you're perfectly divine. Flawlessly designed. When you're lost and alone, staring at the unknown, that this work need to come.
Deconstructing religion and barbecuing the sacred cows of Christianity before your very eyes. You are listening to
The Gospel Revolution.